Right, well. Now, if you remember, Luke was talking on Titus 1 and a bit of Titus 2, and there's a bit more of Titus 2, but unfortunately I'm talking about Titus 3. So you're just going to have to put up with that. So that is the way it is. And what I've done is try to look at what it says in the scripture here and try and keep it very simple. I've only picked out a few little things just to keep it simple. There is a lot in this passage, and I'd recommend that you do read it, but it's very dense. So let's look at what Titus is really saying here. So, be ready for every good work. That, I think, is the whole essence of what Titus is saying. Be ready for every good work. And this morning I'm going to talk about grace, renewal, and active Christian living. Similar to the story, really. I've split it into three simple points because I'm pretty simple and straightforward, and you're just going to have to follow because you don't have a choice. So the first is doing good, living out our faith through actions. The second is according to God's mercy, grace as a foundation of good works. And the third is renewal of the Holy Spirit, empowering our readiness to do good works. So those are the three points that I'm going to be thinking about this morning. So let's start off doing good, living out faith through actions. How are we doing? How are we doing living out our faith through good actions? It's just a rhetorical question. You can answer if you wish. But let's have a look at the first part of the passage. Remind them to be submissive. Actually, it really would be helpful to have had the couple of verses before this, but I missed that off for some reason. The couple of verses just before, it was the end of chapter 2, are actually talking specifically about church leaders. And then it goes on, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Oh dear, I hoped that was up there. So that's the first part. Now, what I would like to highlight, just a couple of little things here, is it's always good to be obedient to our leaders. So if Luke asks you to do something, it's not a bad idea to do it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't occasionally question. And Luke and other leaders in the church are constantly saying, come and ask us, come and talk to us, and have a chat with us. But it's not good just to say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to be... That is not a good way of acting. It is worth checking and testing. But also, it's trying to do good works. Now, obviously, there's a list here of not very good things, but trying to do what is good, that is self-evident. Understanding the call to do good. Grace transforms living. Titus urges believers to let renewal by grace shape conduct and readiness for good works. Faith is evidence in action. You see, the thing is, you can say you're a Christian. I can say I'm a Christian. But if I don't do anything, then there's no evidence for that. Therefore, the Bible is constantly saying, because of what God has done for us, we need to do good to others. It's a transactional thing. The Bible actually constantly encourages us to do things good because of God has done things good for us. Community-oriented holiness. Believers pursue practical holiness by serving neighbors, promoting peace, and meeting needs. So, practical ways of showing goodness in daily life. Acts of kindness. How many people here have had an act of kindness by someone in the last couple of years? Something, yet most of us have had something good done to us. And you remember it, don't you? You remember exactly what happened and how good that felt. Let's try and do simple gestures like helping our neighbor or offering encouragement can make a significant impact on others' lives. And we recognize that in our own lives. Ethical integrity at work, upholding honesty and fairness and in professional settings and reflecting moral character that inspires trust. Trying to do what is good. Service to the marginalized, those who are poor. The Bible is constantly talking about helping the poor and caring for the poor. Volunteering time or resources to support those in need, demonstrating compassion and Christ-like love, or helping at the church fun day. That's it, the church fun day on Saturday. If you can help, that would be really good. Not that I'm saying that everyone there is marginalized, but except me, of course. Then intentional relationships. Building supportive, caring connections with others fosters community and spreads goodness. So we need to work at doing these things. Intentional relationships. Isn't it nice if someone says to you, I want to be your friend. I want to care about you. You're important to me. You matter to me. We all want to receive that. Well, let's be prepared to give it as well as receive it. I'm giving up my screen there. I can't see. Right, what that does is this nice percentage, 23%, increase in life satisfaction amongst those who regularly engage in altruistic activities. You're much more likely to have life satisfaction. That's nearly 25% more, a quarter more life satisfaction, if you do things that are good for others. Don't you think that's a good idea? That's practical research. The Bible's been telling us for years, 2,000 years, that that's a good idea. But even evidence, modern evidence, now supports that. Okay, you might wonder what this next slide is all about. Criticism poor. In January, I turned to my wife and I said to her, is there any way that I could improve our relationship? Is there anything that I'm doing? I know you're all laughing. I had good intentions. I said, Kat, is there anything I can do to improve our relationship? And her response was, no, there's nothing you can do. And I nearly took that at face value, but I pressed. I said, no, there must be something that I'm doing that you don't like. And she said, well, she said, and then for about half an hour, she diligently explained that I can be quite critical. And I didn't like it. But I was a good boy. I didn't say a word. other than just to clarify certain things. No, it wasn't that bad. And what I realized is this, that in my relationship with my wife, I often point out things that I consider are facts. Why has the marmalade moved from here to here? Now, the thing is, that's just a factual statement. So I thought, oh, well, it's not critical, is it? But then there's, why is the marmalade moved from here to here? Or there is, why has the marmalade moved from here to here? And the reality is that the way I was communicating with Mel was quite critical. Anyway, a little time goes on a little bit. We've been talking about this for a little while. And then one day, I think Eunice was in the house with us. And I said to Eunice, look, if I'm ever critical of Mel, I want you to say so, which was the worst thing I could have said. But then we were on our way, I don't know, to church or back from church in the van one day with Eunice in the van, and I said something. And then Eunice piped up from the back, Paul, you told me to tell you if ever you were critical of Mel, and you just have been. So I turned to Mel and said, was what I said critical? And she said, yes. Oh, there I was in the van. But actually, in saying that, it was quite humorous. And I think, I don't know, Mel or someone said a joke or whatever, and we all were laughing about it. But actually, it just helped me a little bit. And then another time, we were at the church office for the course we've just done. What was the course we just did? Yeah, Practicing the Way course. And Lorraine was there. Lorraine Drew, who isn't here this morning, but you can tell her all about it. She said to me, Paul, you can be quite critical of yourself, can't you? And that really went in, because I thought, yeah, that is true. I am sometimes critical of myself. The thing is, this is what I want you to understand this morning, is I really want to be a good husband. I really want to do what's good and what's right. I want to be a good man. I want to try and do what's right. I try very hard to do the right thing and to be a good person, just like Silas, just like Titus is telling us. I really want to do that. And I think you do too. I think there isn't a person here who doesn't say, I want to be good. I want to do what's right. I want to get things right, God. I just want to be better than I am. I just want to achieve better. I just want to do better in this situation. This is what Paul says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. A bit later on he says, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the very evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. This is a saint. Saint Paul wrote half of the New Testament. And he's struggling with doing good and doing right. Just like me. This was very heartening to read this, that he struggled with it. Let's move on to the second point. First point, do good. Second, according to God's mercy, grace and good works. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. God's mercy towards us is what saved us. It's his mercy that keeps us going. It's his mercy. When Mel was talking a few weeks ago about blind Bartimaeus, who said, "Have mercy on me, Jesus." We need to understand God's mercy. We need to receive God's mercy. We need to let it fill our hearts and our minds so that we can survive when we fail. Responding to God's mercies, I've put up four different ways. Receive mercy. God's compassion is received and acknowledged personally. We can do it together. We can say as a church, we acknowledge God's mercy, but we need to do it as individuals. We need to personally say, "You, Lord, have been merciful to me." We need to have an attitude of gratitude, which is what Luke was doing for about 10 minutes in his prayer. An attitude of gratitude. Thankfulness grows into an inward posture of love. 3, love in action. Service flows out of community aid, mentoring, hospitality, just to name a few things that come out of gratitude. They're just a couple of them. But if you have received grace, you will demonstrate it in the way that you live. But being grateful is helpful. Finally, there is an evidence of the impact. Data shows religious motives significantly drive altruism. But actually, Christian motives significantly drive altruism and caring for others and doing good works. That's my 2 points. We're now on the home straight. How are we doing for time? Okay. Renewal of the Holy Spirit. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's right in the middle of the passage. Right in the middle. Now, it's important to understand, in the Bible, the way that arguments take place, often are that the argument is built into the middle, and then the main point is in the middle, and then follow-up evidence is followed afterwards. Now, the way we do it in the Western world, we tend to start at the beginning and we build up to a conclusion, and that's what we tend to do. But it's slightly different, particularly in the letters. That's the way that Paul generally does it. And this is right in the middle. By the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now, we as a church, we believe in the Holy Spirit comes to us when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Then he enters into our heart. But we also believe that there is a spiritual blessing. Renewal. Baptism in the Spirit. An outpouring. I don't care what you call it. It's when God comes and blesses you and pours his Spirit into you and somehow releases the Spirit from your inner spirit and out of you. I think of it very much like the temple. The temple in the Old Testament. You've got the Holy of Holies, where God lived, the inner courtyard and the outer courtyard. But there's no longer a temple because you are temples. So you have an inner Holy of Holies. That's where God lives in you. God's address is my address. But the inner courtyard in Israel was designed for the purpose of running the nation of Israel. Later, it was sort of passed over a bit to kings, but initially it was designed that the inner courtyard actually run and administered the whole of the nation of Israel. And then the outer courtyard is what touched the world. And that's our bodies. We touch our outer world. The inner courtyard is our minds. We need to renew our minds so that the Spirit of God comes out of us, from within us, out of us. But we need to keep on being renewed. Titus 3 portrays renewal as a profound spiritual transformation affected by the Holy Spirit, enabling believers to leave behind their former ways and live righteously. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Live righteously. Theological perspective. Theologians view the renewal as both an instant and an ongoing process that equips believers for effective Christian witness. That's pretty universal. Pretty universal idea. It's not a one-off thing that's it. It's consistent. And that is what we believe. My perspective, if you want to change, you need spiritual renewal. I would personally say that the hardest thing in this world is for you to change yourself. I'm not saying you can't do it. Just ordinary people every day do manage to change their inner self. But it's really hard. It is really hard to do it. Let me give you one example. The largest study on diets was in Europe. They had 10,000 participants, and it was for a 10-year study on people who were dieting. After 7 years, they cancelled the study because they didn't have a significant number of people left to continue the study, because not enough people managed to continue to diet. Change behaviour. That's what basically, it's evidence that people find it really hard to change their behaviour. I certainly do. But God can change your behavior with your help. No, the other way around. God can change your if you're willing. It doesn't need you to do it. He can do it in you and through you. So, renewal of the Holy Spirit is vital for us to change. And if you want to get better, if you want to be good, you need a revitalization of the Holy Spirit, and you need it consistently. How the Holy Spirit transforms believers. The Spirit renews hearts, moving people from spiritual death to life and new desire for God. Cultivates joy, peace, love, patience, kindness. The fruits of the Spirit, that's what comes. And that's just a small list. There's loads of them. Gifts of ministry empowers diverse gifts to build up the church and serve the common good. That's what the gifts are for. Every gift we have here in the room is to build up the church for its good. And evangelism is to encourage new people. The psychological impact. Studies link spiritual transformation with better emotional health, behavior, and community engagement. It is fact. It's not just what we believe. It is fact and proven that spiritual renewal makes a difference in people's lives. Living by Spirit-led life. Okay, so I'm persuaded. You need the Spirit to change you and fill you. What do you do? Number one, you need to be humble. That is the first thing you need to do. Embrace a posture of humility. This allows for openness to divine direction and fosters genuine relationships with others. You need humility. Secondly, you need obedience. If God tells you to do it, do it. Constantly responding to God's guidance with obedience ensures alignment with his will in daily decisions. Just got to do what he says. And sometimes we need to repent and say, sorry, God, I wasn't doing what you wanted, and now I am going to do what you wanted. And then the Spirit often comes in those situations. proactive kindness, actively seeking opportunities to show kindness, prepares believers for engagement in good works and serves others effectively. So effectively, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Okay. Embrace God's... We're running out of time, so we'll embrace God's mercy, be spiritually renewed, commit to good works, and live it daily. Now is your opportunity to respond. I think the Holy Spirit is here this morning. I think he's been talking to people and encouraging them. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take communion as a response to what I've actually said. And the communion is here, and I will simply invite us to communion. And then I want you to come up and take the communion here. And then I want you to walk along the front. Hopefully you'll be out of the way. And down here to the back. So you walk all the way around. And then once you get to the back, ask someone to pray for you. Any of the church leaders would be happy to pray for you. But I think you can ask anyone here to just pray. Just pray to receive God's blessing in your life. A renewal of the Holy Spirit. Now we've got a bit of time. We've got about 20 minutes. So it's quite a while to be able to respond. So let's just read. So as you come up from the beginning, take the bread and the wine. And then one of the servers will ask you if you want to take prayer after you've gone to the back. As you take communion, they will pray for you for anything you want, so you can ask for prayer for anything. I would suggest, however, you humbly ask the Holy Spirit to help you be a better person in ... That is you filling that in. Actually, Lord, I struggle with this area and I need your help. I personally think it's a good idea to name what that is to the other person who's praying for you. Confess your sins to one another. But that's up to you. I'll leave that open. Take time. Let the Holy Spirit touch you. Don't rush away. We're going to take 20 minutes to do this. So you've got time to come up, take communion. If you feel like you have a word or would like to pray for someone, that's fine. You know, as long as the leaders are around there, let's grab a leader and go and pray for someone or talk with someone. And pray with them. Pray the Holy Spirit will come on them. Pray that they'll be blessed and they'll be encouraged and they'll be built up and they'll be lifted. So let's just read this from the communion. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink of it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord Jesus, we come to you to proclaim your death and your resurrection and the fact that you can wash us clean in your blood. I pray that as we come to you, your Holy Spirit will come in this meeting, touch us, encourage us, build us up in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you just want to come up this way and then round to the back, and I'm going to go to the back to pray for anybody.